हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Now, this is second chapter we are entering now. The second chapter also, we have again three sections known as three vallis. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada, as a commentator, he needs to really make us understand or remind us what has been said before and what is going to be said later on in this chapter. It is very important to know the connection between what has been understood before and what is going to be taught hereafter. And this is in teaching methodology, it's called Simhavalokana Nyaya. Simha Avalokana Nyaya, which I need not mention, but still I wanted to remind you. Simha Avalokana Nyaya is a methodology used in the teaching. Any teaching, revision, reviewing, isn't it? So, Simha Avaloka, this name is given. See, revision, reviewing is always important in any subject matter. And in Sanskritam, it's called Simha Avalokana Nyaya, which means when a lion walks in the forest, the lion is very prudent and very shrewd, sharp. What it does, it looks for, whenever lion walks, very majestic, the walk is very majestic. Lion will never walk continuously. It will always, when it is walking, it will stop and look around. Stop, and it will not turn the whole body. It will turn only its head and look both sides to find whether any hunter is behind, any danger is behind it. And it makes sure there is no danger. Then it will again turn its head and look for both sides whether any food is available. So, in Simha Avalokanam, two things are taken care of. What are two things? Whether any danger is following him, any hunter is behind somewhere to shoot and kill him, and any food is available for him, okay, to get. So, the two purposes. It's Simha Avalokanam, turning its head without moving the body, looking around, helps him understand two things. Similarly, here also, when we stop and look back, okay, what all we have studied, what we have understood, how much has gone in, how much has yet to be understood. Then, okay, now what is going to be taught hereafter? This connection is very important to understand the connection, to have better understanding of what is going to be studied, transmit what has been understood also. Isn't it? Called Simhavalokana Nyaya. So in following that Nyaya, Shankara Bhagavatpada makes his, presents his commentary to make us understand the connection between what has been understood in the first three sections of first chapter and what is going to be discussed hereafter. First he says, I will discuss more of this next class. But let me just start this first bhasha before going to the first verse. And I have so much to say on as introduction to this verse also. So Shankaracharya says, Yeshaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Gudha Atma. Gudha Atma. See, Gudha Atma alone. Because Sandhi becomes Gudhotma. Or Gudha Atma. Gudha Atma is a compound word. Otherwise, Gudhotma means what? Gudha Atma. Even then, it's Gudha Atma or not Gudhotma. Gudha Atma. Gudha Atma, Gudha Atma. Yeshaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu. It's not that Gudhotma, it's not Gudhotma, it's a Gudha Atma. Yeshaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu. Gudha Atma. Gudhatma or Gudhatma na prakashate. This mantra, he repeats the same words of the mantra of the one of the mantra which you have already read. Na prakashate. Na prakashate means does not shine. So this Atma, hidden in all the beings, does not shine. This Atma, which remains hidden in all the beings, does not shine for all the beings. So this not the Atma is not there. Atma cannot go anywhere. Atma being all pervasive, already there, pervading everything here, all the beings here, the entire body, mind and complex. Atma is very much there, in and pervading in and through everything here. Therefore, every individual being also has Atma pervading oneself. Therefore, Atma is there, hidden in all the beings, but na prakashate, it doesn't shine. Doesn't shine means what? Na drishyate. Na prakashate means na drishyate. It's not seen, but it is seen by whom? Drishyate. It does not shine. It's not available for recognition for all the people, but still it is drishyate, it is seen. It is recognizable, it is recognized by whom? We see, it is to agriya buddhya. Agriya buddhya drishyate. This Atma, all pervasive, ever remaining absolute reality, satrast reality, though it is there pervading everything, all the beings, it remains there, still it doesn't shine, it's not available for recognition, but it is recognized with what? Agriya buddhya, with sharp intellect. Through the sharp intellect, Atma is recognizable, Atma is recognized. Iti uktam. This fact has been already mentioned in one of the mantras before. Now, kaha punaha pratibandaha. Kaha punaha pratibandaha. Then what is the obstacle there? Kaha punaha pratibandaha. Then if Atma is there always, already pervading everything, every being, then what is their pratibandaha? What is the obstacle there? Agriya buddhya. Agriyaha buddhehe. Yena tad abhavat atmana drishyate. So, what is the obstacle in recognizing the Atma? Why Atma remains hidden, as it were? Nothing can hide the Atma. Atma is as if it is hidden. It is doesn't shine because abhav tad abhavat agriya buddhehe. Ena tad abhavat. If tad abhavat means if there is absence of the sharp, subtle, focused intellect, then atmana drishyate, Atma is not recognized. Iti tad adarshana karana pradarshanartha pradarshanartha valli arabhyate. Tad adarshana karana pradarshanartha valli arabhyate. Now, this section, the first section or second chapter, is begun for showing pradarshanartha. The whole section itself is for showing the reason for not recognizing the Atma. Reason for Atma being non-recognizable. Why Atma is not recognizable? Even though it was mentioned earlier very briefly, Atma is all pervasive. Atma is hidden in everyone. But Atma is not recognized. Atma does not shine. It is recognizable for those who have sharp, subtle intellect. But in this section, in this second chapter, Tad adarshana karana pradarshanartha valli arabhyate. This section is begun for showing this fact, showing the reason for Atma being non-recognizable. Why Atma is non-recognizable? The reason has to be shown. Tad adarshana karana pradarshanartha valli arabhyate. This section is begun for the purpose of showing the reason for Atma being non-recognizable. Okay. Next sentence, she says, Vijnatehi Sheya Pratibandhakarani. Sheya Pratibandhakarani Tad Apanayanaya Yatnaha Arabdham Shakyate Na Anyathayiti. Again, she says, Vijnate. Vijnatehi, when Sati Saptami, when the obstacle in recognizing the Atma, when the obstacle, the pratibandha, the obstacle in recognizing the Atma, the reason for the pratibandha, when the reason for the obstacle in attaining the moksha, attaining the jnanam, when it's understood, then tad apanayanaya, for removing that obstacle, yatnaha arabdham shakyate, it is possible to begin to make efforts. Yatnaha arabdham shakyate, it is possible to begin to make efforts to remove that obstacle. Otherwise, if we do not understand the reason for the obstacle in attainment of jnanam and moksha, we do not understand the reason for the Atma being not recognizable, then we cannot make any efforts. How can we make efforts? It is possible to begin to make any effort for the removal of that obstacle only if we understand that obstacle in the form of the reason. The obstacle in attaining the jnanam. It is a vijnatehi. Vijnate means when understood. What understood? When the reason for the obstacle is understood. Shreya pratibandha karane vijnate. Shreya pratibandha karane vijnatehi. When the reason for the obstacle in attaining the shreyas is understood, when the reason for the attaining, reason for the obstacle in knowing the Atma is understood, tad apanayanaya, for the removal of it, yatnaha arabdham shakyate, it is possible to begin making efforts. Na anyatha, otherwise it is not possible. Very important to understand the obstacle, to make effort to remove the obstacle, otherwise it is not possible. What is not possible? It is not possible for us to remove the obstacle. Thereby it is not possible for recognize the Atma also. Therefore it is not possible to attain the moksha also. Understand? Got it? Okay. What is the reason? Again, this is first mantra, is also an important mantra. Very, very important mantra, often quoted mantra. Paranchikhani vyatrunat swayam bhuhu. Paranchikhani vyatrunat swayam bhuhu. Tasmat parang pashyatinantaratman. Tasmat parang pashyatinantaratman kaschiddhira pratyagatmana maikshat kaschiddhira pratyagatmana maikshat ஆவிருத்த சக்ஷுர் அமிர்தத்வமிச்சன், ஆவிருத்த சக்ஷுர் அமிர்தத்வமிச்சன், பராஞ்சிகானி வித்ருணத் ஸ்வயம்பூ தஸ்மாத் பராங் பஷ்யதினாந்தராத்மன் கஷ்சித்தீர பிரத்யகாத்மானமைக்ஷத் ஆவிருத்த சக்ஷுர் அமிர்தத்வமிச்சன். இஸ் ஆல்சோ வெரி ஆஃப்டன் கோட்டட் மந்திர பை ஆல் தி பீப்புள். வை? பிகாஸ் தி வெரி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் மந்திரா இட் செல்ஃப் பிரசன்ஸ் தி ரீசன், ரீசன் ஃபார் தி ஆப்ஸ்டிக்கல் இன் ரெக்கக்னைசிங் தி ஆத்மா. If it's very important to understand the reason so that we can make efforts to remove the obstacle, so that we can effortlessly, easily discover the Atma, recognize the Atma, enjoy the benefit of discovering the Atma also. So, Paranchikani Vyatrunat Swayambhuhu தஸ்மாத் பராங் பஷ்யதி நாந்தராத்மன் கஷ்சித் தீர பிரத்யகாத்மானமைக்ஷத் ஆவிருத்த சக்ஷுர் அமிர்தத்வமிச்சன். ஹியர் ஒன் ஆஃப் தி பியூட்டிஃபுல் நேம்ஸ் ஆஃப் பகவான் இஸ் வாட்? ஸ்வயம்பூஹு, ஸ்வயம்பூஹு, த வேர்ட் ஸ்வயம்பூஹு, Swayam Bhavati iti Swayam Bhuhu. One who is of the nature of self-existence and one who is not dependent on anything else in the world for one's existence is Swayam Bhuhu. Swayam Bhuhu, Swayam Bhavati iti Swayam Bhuhu. It means Bhagawan as the truth, Bhagawan as the reality is beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless, uncaused, cause of the whole. No, therefore, Swayambhuhu. Swayambhavati iti Swayambhuhu. Why Bhagavan is called Swayambhuhu? One who is of the nature of self-existence. And Swayambhuhu, Vyatrunat. Vyatrunat is what? The verb here. Vyatrunat means destroyed. Bhagavan destroyed. What did he destroy? How did he destroy? Bhagavan destroyed the paranchikani. Khani. Khani means, you know, the word kha itself means space. But here, khani here means completely different word. You go, don't get anywhere else. Khani means indriyani. Jnanendriyani. Khani means indriyani here. The sense organs. Paranchi. Paranchi means what? Which are extroverted. Extrovert. So, sense organs are extroverted. So, okay. Why? Bhagavan, how does Bhagavan destroy them? Because Bhagavan is in the very order. And sense organs are placed, assembled. In fact, in such a way that they are extroverted only. Like a steering must be in the place of steering. It cannot be elsewhere. You know, a wheel must be in a place where exactly where it is. It cannot be elsewhere. Like that Bhagavan as an order, in the form of order also, contributed for the placing of sense, the placement of sense organs in such a way that they are extroverted. The word Bhagavan, by making the sense organs, placing them in such a way that they are extroverted, Bhagavan destroyed. So we should not take it literally, seriously. I'm only giving the literal meaning. Please don't take the literal meaning alone. Time being, I'm giving the literal meaning. So, Swayambhuhu Paramatma பராஞ்சி கான் வெத்ருணத்து, காணி பராஞ்சி வெத்ருணத்து. பராஞ்சி காணி வெத்ருணத்து. So placing the sense organs extroverted, Bhagavan distorted as it were. Svayambhuhu. Tasmat, as Bhagavan himself set the sense organs in such a way that they are extroverted, tasmat means what? Because of the treason. Tasmat karanat. Because the reason that Bhagavan himself set the sense organs such a way that they are extroverted, parang pashyati, parang pashyati. Now it's implied what? Now a human being is implied here. A human being, parang pashyati, manushyaha is implied here. Parang pashyati. Parang means what? He perceives only externally. Pashyati, he perceives, he sees only externally. He sees only outside. Every human being choicelessly sees only outside because of the reason that Bhagavan himself placed sense organs in such a way that they are extroverted. Therefore, Svayambhuhu Paranchikani Vyatrunat Tasmat Parang Pashyati. When he sees externally, when he sees only outside, what does he not do? Na Antaratman. So, Antaratman is actually Antaratma. But it must be grammatically how it should be. Antaha Atmanam na Pashyati. Bahihi Pashyati Manushyaha. Antaha Atmanam na Pashyati. He does not see the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost self. Antaratmanam na Pashyati. He does not see the innermost self. அந்தராத்மானம் ந பஷ்யதி. சோ ந அந்தராத்மன், ந பஷ்யதி அந்தராத்மன். பஷ்யதி ஷுட் கோ வித் ட்வைஸ். ஓகே, தி தஸ் பராக் பஷ்ய பராங் பஷ்யதி அந்தராத்மா, அந்தராத்மன் ந பஷ்யதி. வை ஹி டஸ் நாட் சி இன்சைட், வை ஹி டஸ் நாட் சி தி இன்னர்மோஸ்ட் செல்ஃப், வை ஹி இஸ் ஓன்லி அவுட் சைட். இட் இஸ் நாட் ஹிஸ் ஃபால்ட். பகவான் ஹிம்செல்ஃப் பிளேஸ் சென்ஸ் ஆர்கன்ஸ் இன் சச் எ வே. So Bhagavan has to be blamed for that. We are ready to blame. Any problem is with us, and right, we try to find, so you know, blame others only. So we can blame Bhagavan himself. It is not our problem, it's Bhagavan's problem. Bhagavan created this problem for us. Okay. Amrtattvam ichchan. But Amrtattvam Ichchan Purushaha, the person who is aspiring for Ichchan, the person who is aspiring for Amrtattvam. Amrtattvam is another word for what? Mokshaha. So Amrtattvam is immortality. Immortality means freedom from the bondage of samsara. The person who is aspiring for freedom from this bondage of samsara, who is aspiring for moksha, who is aspiring for immortality, what does he do? Kaschit dhiraha. Not anybody. Only very rare human being, a very rare person. Kaschit dhiraha. Some rare person who is very brilliant, who is intelligent, who protects his intellect from this problems of samsara. Such a person, the person of discriminative understanding, Vivekavan Purushaha, Kaschid Dhiraha, some rare person of discriminative understanding, discriminative knowledge, who's conscious of protecting his intellect from the problems of samsara, what does he do? He does not see the external world. He does not see. Instead, what does he do? Avritta chakshuhu. Avritta chakshu, as the one whose eyes have been closed. That's the meaning. Avritta means closed. Avritta chakshuhu, as the one whose eyes have been closed, means what? As the one who has withdrawn from his eyes, from the external world, aikshat pratyagatmanam aikshat avritta chakshuhu kaschidhiraha atmanam aikshat pratyagatmanam aikshat. So aikshat is a past tense verb, but we should take it as present tense verb. He sees very carefully. Upanishad, sometimes the words are completely different. Means, if you in conventional language, if you write aikshat sees, you will get 0 mark. But here we should correct the Upanishad also. Aikshat, he sees. This person sees what? Pratyagatmanam aikshat means pashyati. Amrutattvam icchan avritta chakshuhu kaschid dhiraha pratyagatmanam aikshat. He sees the pratyagatma. What is pratyagatma? I told you many times already, pratyak is the word. Pratyak is the word. Pratyak plus atma, pratyagatma. Ka becomes ga. So atma already, you know why? Sarvam apnoti iti atma. You know, we are going to see a beautiful definition of atma given in Aitreya Upanishad also. I'm going to do that. There's a beautiful one mantra of Aitreya Upanishad where 4 definitions are given, 4 means are given for the word Atma. The word Atma is used sometimes to mean the mind also. Sometimes the word Atma, very rarely it also means the physical body. But actually, Atma is what? That which is of the nature of all pervasiveness is Atma. Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. And all pervasive, that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness must be the subtlest. So the subtlest abstract reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, is implied by the term Atma here. And that Atma, obtaining as the nearest innermost self, is what? Pratyagatma. Simply Atma means Brahma. Atma, the word Atma means Brahma, the reality. But it's all pervasive reality, available for recognition, obtaining as the content of I, the knower, is Pratyagatma. So this person discovers Pratyagatmanam Pashyati na Aikshat. And to be able to see the Apratyagatma, he must be a Dhiraha. He must be protector of his mind. He must have, which means he must be aspiring for Amritattvam. Without the desire for Amritattvam, it is impossible for one to make the effort. It's not possible. So in this one mantra, we present the connection between Atma Jnanam and the benefit. Who can aspire for Atma Jnanam? Only a person who is aspiring for immortality alone can aspire for Atma Jnanam. Aspiring for immortality implies aspiring for everlasting happiness, aspiring for everlasting peace, aspiring for permanent freedom from this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, fraught with countless number of pairs of opposites. So such a person who is aspiring for the absolute end alone can aspire for the jnanam. And who knows the value of the jnanam can aspire for jnanam. And who aspires for jnanam alone can make efforts to take his attention away from the external world of objects. They were to withdraw his attention, and he can place his attention where? In one's own Swarupam. The way he can discover and he can see one's own Swarupam. Therefore, Swayambhoho Paranchikhani Vyatrunat Tasmat Parangpashyati Na Antaratman Amrtattvam Ichchan Avrutta Chakshu Kaschidhiraha Pratyagatmanam Aikshat. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. I'm going to do only one small paragraph and we'll stop. And we'll next class onwards, we'll really start take off the proper, okay, proper unfoldment of all every mantra here onwards. No, Paranchi. See, Shankar Bhagavad Pada's commentary. Paranchi. Why Paranchi? He says beautifully, Parak Anchanti. Anchanti means Gachanti. Gachati, you know, simple verb. The verb Anchati also means Gachati. Know that? Anchati. We never say Aham Gram Anchami. We never say that. Aham Gram Gachami. Aham Gachami is very well known. Aham Anchami is not well known, isn't it? Anchati also means Gachati. So Anchanti means Gachanti. Parak Achanti. Parag Anchanti. Parak Anchanti iti. Parag Anchanti iti Gachanti. Iti Paranchi. Khani. Tadu Upalakshitani. Tani Upalakshitani. So Khani, Upalakshitani. Here, Khani means the every sense power is like an entrance. Every sense power happens to be like an entrance through which sense object enters. Therefore, it is like a dwaram. It is like a, it is not actually a hole, but it's like a hole. Why? Because through which sense power enters. Entry is always through a hole. Therefore, the sense power through which sense object enters into the mind also is looked upon as so. It's a hole. So the hole must be, the entrance must be outside so that things from outside can enter into the hole. So external objects which enter through the sense organs to go to the mind. Therefore, there are khani. External entrances. Khani means external entrances. And literally it means external entrances. And it also means what? Generally we can say sense organs. Khani. So khani literally means all the dashaindriyani. All dashindriyani, karmendriyani, gyanindriyani, etc. But specifically here we say khani means, because it also means an entrance. So we say sense organs, specifically gyanindriyani are the entrances, or like the entrances through which sense objects enter into the mind. So khani. So what are they? Tad upalakshitani means what? They're meant actually. Shrotradini indriyani khani iti uchyante. So shrotra adini indriyani khani iti uchyante. Only the sense organs such as hearing power, etc. This is shrotram, I mean the indriyam alone. I don't mean the golakam. Okay. Shrotra adini indriyani, sense, the subtle powers of perception such as hearing power, etc. are said to be khani because they are implied as the meaning is what? they serve as the entrances through which sense objects enter into the mind. Okay. So paranchi is equal to parak anchanti. Anchanti. Parag anchanti. Anchanti means what? Gachanti iti. Okay, next. Kani. Kani tadul upalakshitani. Kani means what? Implied by kani are sense organs, sense subtle sense powers such as hearing power, etc., which serves as instruments of knowledge. They also are there as entrances through which objects enter. They are meant by the word kani. Shankaracharya explains why the word, the expression kani, stand for sense, especially jnanendriyani. Okay. Now, tani paranchi eva. Tani paranchi eva. Tani paranchi eva. Shabdadi vishaya prakashanaya pravartante. Tani paranchi eva. Again, you can say, paranchi. Tani paraganchanti. They go outside only. Why? Because pravartante, shabdadi vishaya prakashanaya pravartante. Their main function itself, they meant for what? They function itself for revealing, bringing to light, into light, the objects such as sound, etc. Shabdadi vishaya prakashanaya pravartante. Kimartam pravartante, since tani shabdadi vishaya prakashanaya pravartante. They are functioning mainly for revealing or illumining the external objects such as sound, etc. Shabdadi, you can say shabdadi vishaya prakashanaya tani pravartante. Therefore, they are paranchi eva. They can't help. They have to be external only, extroverted only. Yasma devam swabhavikani tani vyatranatu. Yasmat evam swabhavikani tani. Swabhavikani means that they are of this nature. Swabhavaha nature. Swabhavikam means what? That which has this nature. So tani swabhavika. Tesham swabhavaha. Okay? That's the main sentence. But tani swabhavikani. Swabhavaha nature. Swabhavikam, that which is of the nature. So tani, all those sense organs are of the nature of what? Being extroverted. Tani swabhavikani, eva means in this manner. That they function specifically for illumining the external object such as sound, etc. Therefore, it is said, vyatranati. Vyatranati means what? How do you get the exact meaning? Without Shankaracharya's commentary, we can't get anywhere what Upanishad says. Himsitavan. Vyatrunat himsitavan. Vyatrunat dhimsitavan. You see, dha is there. Okay? You must break it. Vyatrunat himsitavan. Vyatrunat dhimsitavan. Got it? Some students make note of the sandhi. Vyatrunate himsitavan, vyatrunat dhimsitavan. Vyatrunate is equal to himsitavan. Himsitavan, it means harmed. Himsitavan means harmed. Harmed is better. Himsitavan. But Shankaracharya himself says, hananam kritavan. Himsitavan means harmed, injured. Himsitavan, injured, harmed, caused pain, etc. But here, Hananam Kritavan did the killing. Hananam Krita means did the killing. Hananam is a gerund, killing. Hananam Kritavan did the killing, or has done the killing, has done the destruction. So Hananam Kritavan means what? Killed. Bhagavan has killed them. He destroyed them. Because of their nature of being extroverted. Vitranuti himsitavan hananam kritavan ityartha. Now the question comes, who? Kaha? Kaha so? Who harmed them? Who destroyed them? Who killed them? Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu kaha? Parameshwaraha. Why Parameshwara Swayambhuhu? Swayameva Swatantraha Bhavati. Swayameva Bhavati. Swatantraha Bhavati. Swayameva Bhavati. Swatantraha Bhavati. So one who is of the nature of independent existence, one who is of the nature of self-existence is Swayambhuhu. Sarvada, always Bhagavan, being the very truth, is ever of the nature of self-existence or independent existence. Therefore what? Na paratantraha. Bhagavan is never dependent. Therefore Bhagavan is called Swayambhuhu. We are still seeing only the literal meanings only. I'm going to stop now. So we'll continue the next class. Until now, we have only seen the literal meanings only. We have to see much more in this, much more of this verse. Okay? It's like time. So we'll better do it next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.